Well, picking up where I left off in the children's sermon, who does not love a party? Most people, young and old, like to go to parties. Birthday parties, potluck dinners, picnics, anniversary celebrations, and just get together to have fun with each other. So listen, party people. People who like to party. This is a scripture passage for you. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, can be compared to a king who gave a wedding party for his son. Heaven's kingdom is a feast, a party. Now, I think we've all been told that religion is serious business. I don't remember what it was that I found funny in church that Sunday morning when I was 4 or 5 years old, but I do remember that my brother and I could not stop giggling about something, and that our mother told us that we had to stop, and told us also what would happen to us if we did not stop. I enjoyed going to church back there when I was a child, but I knew that church wasn't much like a party. Church was church. And sitting in here in church this morning, we are apt to forget how often Jesus not only talked about parties, but how often he went to parties. Thumb through those stories about Jesus in the early pages of the New Testament and see how often Jesus was at somebody's party. His first miracle was turning water into wine at a wedding feast. His prim and proper critics criticized him for eating and drinking with sinners. He told about the prodigal son, who left home and spent his father's money on and wasted it. But when the son came back home, the father welcomed him and threw a party for him. And then there's the Last Supper, a celebration of great significance and meaning, a celebration of meaning about Christ's death, but it's a celebration. And all of this is a foretaste of the final great party, most funful party of all, at the end of time when Christ comes again, and people will come from east and west and north and south and sit at the table of the Lord. Jesus invites the whole world to a party. Now in this story, Jesus is talking not just about any kind of party. He's talking about the party of the king. And you'd think that everybody would want to come to the king's party in the palace. I know I would want to go to a party of the king. Maybe if the king was a tyrant who ruled unjustly, you might not want to go to his party. Or if the king had hurt you with some of his policy or some of your family members, you might not go. But this is a good king. This is a king who loves the people he rules. And he rules with justice for rich and poor alike. Now this party was the great social event of the year, probably of the decade. The king's son was getting married, and this is not just the king's party, this is God's party. And everybody knows that the king in this story is God. God is giving a feast, and he has sent out invitations. Well, it's obvious, isn't it, that everybody's going to want to come to this party? But they don't. It's impossible to understand, but many people turned down this invitation of the king. Many people do not say yes to God's invitation. Now, how do you explain that? There's really no good explanation. It does not make sense, but they do not come. In fact, there are four different responses to this invitation to the party. Some of the people who were invited to the party seized the king's messengers and mistreated them and killed them. Now that seems excessive, doesn't it? We have more polite ways of turning down invitations. Oh, I'd really love to come to your party, but that's the night I bathe the dog. That's the night I weed my flower bed. But Jesus wants to show that we cannot be neutral toward God. We either accept God's invitation or we turn it down. And if we turn it down, we put ourselves on the side of those who crucified our Lord. Well, many of the invited guests, in fact, do not go so far as to kill the messengers. They simply ignore the invitation. That's the second kind of response. People who ignore God's invitation. They had to go on with the normal affairs of their lives, and they did not have time to party. So they went about business as usual. I wonder what was so important that they didn't have time to come to the king's feast. Maybe one had an important client he had to meet. Maybe another had to get his wheat field planted or get his hay into the barn. Maybe another wanted to spend more quality time with his family. Or another just needed more time to relax. Not bad ways to spend anyone's time. Important things to do. But because of those important things, they missed out on God's party. Some people neglect God's invitation for trivial reasons. They waste their lives on trifles. But most people, I think, have important matters to see to. They miss out on God's abundant life for important reasons. But is any reason that important? Is any reason important enough to cause us to refuse God's offer of an abundant, joyful, loving, purposeful life? Now, God, these first persons who were invited to the party were important people, very important people. The kind of people who expected to be invited to a party at the king's palace. Government officials, wealthy businessmen, sports stars, entertainers, actors, actresses, religious leaders. And so they join Jesus' long list of winners who become losers. Have you ever noticed that about Jesus' story? He turns things upside down. The religious people, the well-to-do people, the socially prestigious people do not get what they think they deserve. And the poor people, the people who are ashamed of their sin are honored. Now, these top drawer people who turned down the invitation already have enough of everything. They eat well every meal. They go to the best entertainment, plays, concerts, sports events. They can do it on their own, they think. They not only can live, they can live well. They are those strong, self-sufficient folk who are sure that they can do well without help from anybody, including God. Now, this is a parable about judgment. And there are two ways we can think about judgment. We can think of it like the parable of the sheep and the goats. In that parable, Jesus, the king, divides people into two groups, the sheep and the goats. And one group gets into God's kingdom, and the other group is thrown out into the darkness. But this parable of the wedding feast is also about judgment. And the king invites guests into the feast, and some of them refuse to come. That he does not have to throw them out into the darkness. They remain in the darkness by their own choice. They judge themselves by refusing to come to God's table. Well, what's this king to do? He's prepared the food for the feast. He's decorated the palace. He's hired the best musicians. But no one is coming. And so he sends his servants out again. Go into the streets, he tells them, and invite to the feast anybody you can find. And they went out into the streets, and they gathered everyone they could find, both bad and good. Wait a minute. This is God's feast. God's party. Why are bad people being invited to God's party? Doesn't God require that people be good in order to come to God's party? Doesn't God want people to clean up their lives, get their lives in order before they come to His party? Well, not the God of the Bible. Not the God who is revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, healthy people do not need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to invite sinners, not good people, but sinners, to repentance. During his life, Jesus was constantly around sinful people, despised people. He was criticized for going to parties with sinful people. Jesus comes to people who need help. He makes winners out of life's losers. And so he invites everybody to the party, both good and bad together. Well, these poor sinners never dreamed that they'd get an invitation to the king's palace and a party there. They feel honored to be invited. And they go. And that's the third response to the king's invitation. The people who accept and go to the party. And that response is possible for all of us. We don't go to God's party because we're good enough. We go simply because we receive an invitation and we are grateful and we go. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. But then something surprising happens. We'll call this the sloppy response. There's a man at the party who's not wearing a wedding robe. Everybody else there has on a robe, but not him. The king has provided robes for everybody. That's the only way most of them could get a robe. They didn't have money enough to buy a robe. So the king gave a robe to all of his guests. But this man will not wear his robe. And he represents people who become a part of the Christian church, but there's no change in their lives. Jesus invites us to come into his fellowship just as we are, but then he wants to shape our lives into being what he wants them to be. God wants to make us different. God wants to make us like Jesus Christ. But some people try to receive the benefits of being a Christian without following where God leads. And so this guy comes into the wedding feast in his blue jeans and t-shirt. He was in the banquet hall of the king. He was at a wedding feast with a royal son. The table was set with the finest food. Best wine was being served. He was the recipient of immeasurable grace. Where was his awe? Where was his wonder? Where was his gratitude at being invited to this feast? All the other guests were dressed in their party clothes. There he was, bellying up to the table and the punch bowl in his jeans, stuffing his mouth with crackers and cheese, wiping his fingers on his t-shirt. It's possible to take God's amazing grace for granted. Instead of being humble and grateful, we can be shameless and selfish. This guest does not understand that wearing the wedding garment is part of the fun. It's not a difficult requirement. Can you imagine a friend saying to a bridesmaid, "Sure, I'll be glad to be a friend who is a bride," saying to a friend who is a bride, "Sure, I'll be glad to be your bridesmaid, but don't expect me to dress like the other bridesmaids. I'll just be there in my shorts." Dressing up is part of the celebration, part of the fun. Putting on God's new life is part of the joy. I know that, or at least I think that most of us would say that living, that we would not trade the kind of life we live as Christians for any other kind of life, even here in just in this world, even if there were no life after death. The kind of life that Christians live is more full, more joyful than any other kind of life. But there's something about our lives as church-going people that seems to say to other people that following Christ is really not that much fun. If people only knew the joy of Jesus' way, then surely more than few would Christians be today. If we follow Christ, we will be clothed in righteousness. We will also be clothed in joy. So this man stands for all of those who go their own way, who follow their own way instead of God's way, who cling to their style of life instead of the style of life that God has for them. And the king says, bind him up hand and feet and throw him into the darkness. And so there is judgment for those who insist on their own way instead of God's way, as well as for those who refuse God's invitation. They stand outside in the darkness while the party goes on inside. But the main point of this story is that anyone who wants to come to God's party is invited. Come in from the darkness. Come in from the storms. Come in from your blah, purposeless life. Come in from your sin and guilt. Come in to the party. Come in to Jesus. It's God's party for God's Son. And you are invited. Let us pray.